Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel 3, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 10. You can follow along on the screen. Is it coming up? There it is. Or in your pew Bible, if you choose to and prefer to do that, on page 283 in your pew Bible. The Lord calls Samuel. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down again in his place. Then the Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." This is the word of the Lord.
Many of us are familiar with the story that Teresa read for us this morning. But for those of you that maybe aren't familiar with it, let me give you a quick background. We talked about this last Sunday. There was a lady named Hannah who couldn't have children. And she was terribly sad about this and upset because for personal reasons, the cruelty of others, disappointment, and wishing to honor her husband. So she went to the place of worship and poured her heart out to the Lord. The priest, Eli, saw her, and when he understood what she was asking of God, he blessed her. And after a while, the Lord answered her prayers and Eli's blessing, and she gave birth to a son named Samuel. Since she had pledged that her firstborn son would be dedicated to the Lord's service, she brought him, after he was weaned and old enough, to Shiloh and left him there in the care of Eli the priest so that Samuel could learn to serve the Lord. And then the story of him being called by God takes place. So now we see Samuel, a boy in the place of worship, growing up, and indeed serving the Lord. But to really understand this story, we need to understand a few things about the backstory of it. There's a story about the Israelites, that the children of Israel were living in Egypt. And they were there reduced to slavery. And for 400 years, they were slaves. The Egyptians were mighty. And though numerous, the Israelites had no power. And they had no hope. They cried out to God in despair, and yet God heard their cries. God remembered the promises he had made to their ancestors, and God showed up. Through his servant Moses, the word went to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And after great signs and calamities that were inflicted on the Egyptians, indeed, the Israelites were set free. And they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And in that crucible, they were forged into a nation. Central to the identity of the Israelites as a nation was the fact that they were the people of God. They were the chosen ones through whom blessing would be poured out ultimately onto the whole world. And God, so that they would know this to be true, commanded that an ark be built, a tabernacle, a sacred box which would contain the tablets of the Ten Commandments, the staff of Aaron that had budded and burst into flower, and a jar of manna, the food that sustained the Israelites in the 40 years in the wilderness. It represented God's presence among them. And during those 40 years in the wilderness, the tabernacle led them through the wilderness. And when they stopped for the night, the camp was built around the tabernacle. So in the center of the camp was this place of God, and the people were ringed all around. In the center was God. When they finally entered the promised land, everybody went to the place that was assigned to them by their tribe, and the tabernacle. What was to become of the tabernacle? There was no temple, remember. Jerusalem was not yet a holy city. At this time, Jerusalem was a Jebusite village that was not yet in the possession of the Israelite people. No, the tabernacle went to a village that was in the center of the promised land. If you look at a map of ancient Israel, you look for the town of Shiloh, and it's in the middle. So even in the promised land, the tabernacle, the presence of God, the place where God had his seat on earth, was in the center of the people, in Shiloh. And therefore, Shiloh was the focus of worship for the people of God. And therefore, that is where Hannah went to pray to God to give her a son. It was in Shiloh that Eli, who was the high priest, had his residence and where he conducted his ministry. So Shiloh is tremendously important in biblical history. But things weren't going well in Shiloh. The reading for today started out with some worrisome words. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. What's with that? What does that mean? Well, let me tell you the story. The high priest, as we know, we've just heard about this, was a man named Eli. He comes across as a good man, a kind man. He spoke so nicely to Hannah. But he also comes across as a very weak leader, a very weak spiritual person. He had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And Hophni and Phinehas served as priests under their dad. They were the ones who did the work. Eli, the high priest, was supposed to give direction, and the sons of the priests were the ones who did the tasks. Hophni and Phinehas They were not good men. They were terrible people. They disregarded the instructions that had been given to the priests through Moses. They stole from the offerings that were presented to God and claimed them for themselves. They bullied the worshipers who came and even threatened violence against them. And Eli, the high priest, would not correct his sons. He did not discipline them, and he did not protect the people of God from these terrible priests. No wonder the word of the Lord was rare. No wonder there were not many visions. The quality of spiritual leadership was so low that the spiritual experience of the people was low as well. So the story we read together this morning is about what the Lord was going to do about that. Was he going to allow weak spiritual leadership that was afflicting the people to continue? And it's about the transition that God brought about from one leadership line to another. The fact that God called out in the night to the boy Samuel and not to the high priest Eli is powerfully significant. When it finally dawned on Eli what was happening, that God himself was revealing himself to Samuel, that the word of the Lord was being spoken to this boy. In this time when visions were rare and the word of the Lord was rarely heard, God showed up to Samuel. And Eli knew what that meant. He knew that it was the sign of his own failure. It was the consequence of the disgusting actions of his sons. He knew that a new era of godly leadership was being inaugurated. And the question that's good to ponder is this: why was Samuel chosen to be not only the new priest in God's service, but also called to be a prophet in God's service? Not only that, in time, Samuel would serve as a judge of God's people. In fact, Samuel is recognized as being the last in the long line of judges who provided leadership for the people of God. He was chosen because, as it says in chapter 2, verse 26, the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with people. Samuel, as a boy, was spiritually aware and spiritually growing. He was in the place of worship and was engaging in the practices of devotion. Samuel, as a boy, had his ears open. He was listening. But I think that the true and deep reason, the reason that God chose Samuel, is like all of God's choosings. Mysterious, known to God himself and only to him. That same question could be asked of you and could be asked of me. Why did God choose us? If you call yourself a Christian and you have put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that means that you are a person who has been chosen by God, who is known by Him and is precious to Him. Why does He see you, me, this way? We don't know. We just know that He did. We know that we are called. Each of us called, but not precisely to the kind of ministry that was the calling of Samuel. We are called to our unique callings and purposes in the world and in the church. This calling is a gift. You have received the most precious gift that anyone could ever receive. A precious gift that gives hope to your life and certainty to your future. A gift that gives purpose to your days. Once Samuel heard the call and responded with those wonderful words given to him by Eli, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." What was expected of Samuel? Now that God had reached out to him in this call, had revealed himself to him, now what was expected of Samuel? Well, I think he was expected to pay attention. Pay attention to what the Lord was saying, to listen carefully to what was being revealed to him. He was to come to an understanding of what his calling was so that he could live out that calling faithfully. He was to keep the Lord as his priority. Why did he live? Why did he serve? It was because God was his God, because the call was his, because faith had been planted. And this was, of course, in direct contrast to Hophni and Phinehas, those wretched priests, those sons of Eli, who did not pay attention at all to God, who had no regard for the word and the revelation that was given to it, who did not try to live out their callings faithfully. They did not keep the Lord as their priority. They failed, bang, 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 on every point. And Samuel is the opposite. He heard, he listened carefully, he seeked to understand, and then he served in the way that was consistent with the calling he had received. Now, that was what's expected of Samuel. The obvious question is, so what's expected of us? You and I, the people of God, have been called. We have been summoned by God and commissioned to be His people. We are to pay attention. We've heard the call, I think, or else we wouldn't be in this place. Now we have to listen carefully so that we can understand the nuances of our calling, so that we can think deeply about what it means for us to be the Lord's representatives at this time, in this place, with these resources, with these gifts. What does it mean to be a servant of God? He expects us to think about that. We are to keep the Lord as our priority. And in a day and in an age when there are so many things coming at us, to make this your priority, make that your number one, put all your effort there. In contrast to the call of the gospel, to build the kingdom, to make God our number one priority, this is something we need to hear and we need to reflect on, and maybe we need to confess that we have failed to keep the call of the gospel and the duty of being a member of this community up high. We are called to serve. There are so many ways that that calling is fulfilled in us. And that calling is unique to each one of us because we have different gifts, different capacities, which are given also to God, to us by God, that we might be fulfilling together the total call of this community of faith. It is a high privilege, a great honor, and a deep responsibility. Do you hear how the Lord is calling you? Let's just listen for a moment. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, as we continue to listen, thank you for speaking. Unstop our ears, open our hearts, and let us be Samuels who indeed do recognize your voice and respond in obedience. Amen.